Last night, we had Army Major General Stephen Lanza on the program. If you missed it, you can hear it on our website, 1320wils.com. Although the interview left me wondering about the idea of soldiers being repeatedly deployed and what exactly being resilient means in the context of a war zone. To get some additional perspective, I'm joined by Dr. Paula Kaplan, a clinical and research psychologist at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government and the author of the 2011 Best Psychology Book of the Year, award-winning book, When Johnny and Jane Come Marching Home, How All of Us Can Help Veterans. Dr. Kaplan, thanks for joining us this evening.
Well, thank you for focusing on this topic. It's so important.
So tell me, if someone is repeatedly deployed into a war zone, can they really maintain a functionally healthy mindset?
Well, it depends on what you call functionally healthy. You know, everybody I've ever talked to, whether they are opposed to the war they're fighting in or whether they are gung-ho for it, they all say, you cannot imagine, I could not imagine, they say, until I was there, what it's like to not know who the enemy is, to know that you could be shot at any time of the day or night, and to go through that over and over and over. And when you were then sent home and then redeployed and then deployed yet again, there's only so much that the human heart and mind and brain can take.
Now, I want to ask you, though, multiple studies are showing that around 30% of American soldiers who have served in combat suffer from PTSD. Would that indicate that the vast majority seem to be okay then?
Well, no, it doesn't, because this is a long story, but the short version is psychiatric diagnosis is not scientific. PTSD is a psychiatric diagnosis. And so there are certain, they'll look at the diagnosis and they'll have a list of its features. And you know what? If they don't happen to ask about the kinds of suffering that you're going through because of having been in the war, then they'll say, oh, this person doesn't have PTSD and it looks like you're fine. But, you know, I have interviewed veterans and service members from all wars since World War II. And nobody said, hey, it was a breeze, and no, I never had a nightmare, and no, I never jumped when a truck backfired, and no, I never had any moral anguish about all of this, and no, I never experienced profound grief because of somebody's blown up. About suffering, and whether you call it PTSD or one of the other varieties, it doesn't matter. Most people suffer from being at war.
Do you think the military is underestimating the impact of the psychological impact on soldiers of being in Iraq and Afghanistan?
Well, I think I've had three meetings with different groups at the Pentagon, and I've been very struck by the fact that they see more of this suffering up closer than anybody else. And they're in a real bind for two reasons. One is the mental health professions, and I'm in one of them, have done such a great public relations job of making it look like we know how to fix all kinds of emotional and moral problems, and we don't. The fact is we don't know how to fix the consequences, the emotional consequences of war. So there are the people in the military, the top brass, and the top brass in the VA, and they're realizing that something more is needed than psychiatric drugs and psychotherapy. The communities need to welcome people home, not just by saying, we'll give you a job, but by listening to their stories.
Now, one thing the Department of Defense does not do is keep track of medical prescriptions that are given out to service members in combat. Although, according to the Defense Logistics Agency, since 2001, orders of antipsychotics like Seroquel are up 200%. Demand for anti-anxiety drugs like Valium up by 170%. Is there anything wrong with giving these kinds of meds to maintain soldier resiliency?
Yeah, there absolutely is. And let me just say this, that the military and the VA top brass are in an impossible position because they're not allowed to say war does this. Some of them are anyway, and they're very concerned. But so war causes anguish at an emotional and moral level. And so they have to say things like, well, a certain percentage of people are suffering. And they're not allowed to say it's because of war. And so what's happening is that you've got people having to be very careful about where they identify that the problem lies. And one of the things they're trying to do is they're saying, all these people are suffering. Our service members are suffering. Our veterans are suffering. So what can we do? And the standard of care. What everybody thinks will help is throw more and more psychiatric drugs at them. I find this absolutely terrifying. Not a single veteran I've ever listened to has ever said they were helped by psychiatric drugs. They either don't help them or they hurt them. And it's not uncommon to hear that the average veteran that I've talked to is on between 3 and 12 psychiatric.
But aren't so many civilian Americans themselves on psychotropic medications? Why shouldn't soldiers who are facing these incredibly stressful circumstances use the same drugs?
That's a great question. Well, part of the problem is that if you read a book like Anatomy of an Epidemic by Robert Whitaker, you see that psychiatric drugs do help some people some of the time, at least temporarily, but they hurt far more people. That's why we've got so many more people on disability than we ever have had before. And so whether you're a civilian or whether you're a service member or a vet, psychiatric drugs are less likely to help you than other kinds of things. We had a conference that I organized at Harvard Kennedy School last November called A Better Welcome Home. We had 29 different ways of helping veterans without calling them mentally ill or saying they have PTSD and without giving them drugs. The drugs, people who take these antipsychotic drugs, which are now being given to veterans because they're sad, not because they're psychotic, people who take these antipsychotic drugs are dying 10 to 30 years younger than other people because the drugs are physically dangerous.
Now, I just have a minute left, so I need to ask you this. Those who are traumatized as adults, as many soldiers are, can they ever get back to the way they were before?
You can't ever get back to exactly who you were before. But what you can do, people can go to the Harvard Kennedy School website, go to YouTube and A Better Welcome Home, and you'll see 29 5-minute videos about ways that anybody can help, from helping train a service dog to using the arts, to using political action, to using meditation, or just listening to a soldier's or a veteran's story. They don't get a chance to let the rest of us know what they've been through. We need to know who they are because there's an enormous amount of silent pain and suffering that they're experiencing, and that's changing them in this country in ways we don't even begin to understand yet.
Dr. Paula Kaplan, clinical and research psychologist at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. Check out her book, When Johnny and Jane Come Marching Home, How All of Us Can Help Veterans. Dr. Kaplan, thank you very much for your time this evening.
Thank you.